That may sound a bit like a dentist drill, but it's really an air-powered chainsaw being used to prune back some pretty wild-looking olive trees in the Marche region of Italy. The workers seem to be going pretty hard on the trees, lopping off huge branches, but apparently the trees are used to it.
The tree is able to reborn many times, even when for some reason the upper part is destroyed by a thunderstorm, by a fire, by a whatever, even a human action or something. So it can easily restart from the roots.
Alessandro Bostico is a wine and olive oil educator from Tuscany. As one of his students, I've learned a lot about how olive trees grow, as well as how they are harvested and pruned.
Pruning has been the thing which requires a good skill and experience, and pruning can be very different from one area to the other, depending on the height of the trees, on the local habits in picking olives, many different things. But so olive trees are sort of shaped in different ways depending on the local habits, the local climate, and local varieties are different, many things.
The trees I saw in the Marche region were being pruned into more of a Christmas tree shape, wide at the bottom and narrow on top, which fits in with the mechanical harvesters used by this particular grower. My second visit to an olive grove came in the Puglia region of Italy.
La piana salentina dove non ci sono più oliveti secolari come questi.
The olive trees are 500 years old, and they are this field is the final part of a plain, of a land, a region that starts.
Yes, the trees in this protected grove are at least 500 years old. The tree trunks don't look anything like the trees in the Marche. Instead of being narrow and straight, they are wide, gnarled, and twisted into improbable shapes, many of them hollowed on the inside by disease, but all with vibrant branches and leaves above, and still producing olives that are crushed for their oil in a new cooperative venture that produces organic oils for appreciative consumers. Later in the day, a visit to another historic site. So I'm standing right now in a subterranean olive oil mill. This mill has been restored to its former grandeur, shall we call it, by some people who were able to trace back its existence to at least the 1430s. They found some documentation that listed an expansion to this mill in the 1430s. So we know that this mill has been around for at least 500 or 600 years.
In the past, the old mills were all built underground. Why? Because in the past, it was easier to dig. Okay.
Costava meno.
Then building on the ground because it was less expensive.
Perché per costruire in superficie.
This mill was literally carved out of the rock that lies close to the surface of much of the land in Puglia.
Here inside there were more or less 15-20 people working all together, two horses or donkeys, it depends. And then there was a fire, okay, which helped raising just a little the temperature, just to reach the right conditions.
There were two areas where donkeys pushed around huge millstones that crushed the ripe olives into a paste. The paste was then stuffed into flexible fabric baskets that were stacked on one another in a press, where the workers then manually turned the screws for the press to extract water and olive oil from the paste. It was incredibly labor-intensive, and such an important job that in medieval times, men were given leave from joining armies to work in these mills. Now, of course, these days, most olive oil production is mechanized, and advancements in technology mean much higher quality olive oil. But there are still distinctions in quality, and Alessandro Bostico says consumers need to be wary of what they're getting in the bottle.
In the olive oil field, I would say that most of the market, most of the selling, most of the sales is in the hands of a few companies, international-based companies, and they offer acceptable quality olive oils on sale, kind of cheap, and so there is no reason to reject those oils, but there's no reason to be enthusiastic about them.
Bostico says the origins of the olives and the olive oil are sometimes obscured by labeling. A Tunisian oil may be packaged in Italy and then be called Italian olive oil, for example. He says consumers should pay more attention to what's in the bottle, regardless of what country it comes from.
At the moment, we have some DOP productions in Europe, protected region. We know where the olives are from, and in this case we are dealing with not only quality but also some characteristics, starting even from the color to the taste and flavors, but that's a very limited part of the market.
So how do you choose a good quality oil? If it says extra virgin on the label, that means it is the first cold pressing of the olives. From there, you need to smell and taste. Unfortunately, it's not like going to a wine bar where you could try three or four different wines in an evening. Some gourmet grocery stores may have tasting stations, and that's a good start. An oil should smell fresh, perhaps grassy or fruity, not rancid. The taste is a personal discovery. Some people like oils with a real peppery finish that leaves a bite in the back of your throat. Others want something smoother, more fruity. Keep your oil away from heat and light and use it up within a few months. And remember, like wine, every year brings a different harvest and different flavors. I'll reiterate these tips on my website, where you will also find some photos of those 500-year-old olive trees. That's Food for Thought. I'm Don Genova.